Moncrief on News Talk.
Increasingly, in cases of death by suicide or mass shootings, CTE is a factor. It's a condition that can bring on dramatic changes in personality. People involved in contact sports are more vulnerable to it, but ongoing research also indicates a genetic disposition may play a role. Dr. Colin Doherty is head of the School of Medicine in Trinity College and a consultant neurologist at St. James's Hospital. Good afternoon, Colin.
Hi, how are you?
When somebody develops CTE, is it possible to diagnose it while they're still alive?
No, that's a controversial area. There's no way to diagnose this condition in life at the moment. The definitive diagnosis is only in death. I mean, it presents very much like a dementing illness, so it looks like a lot of dementias. But in other dementias, we have biomarkers and ways of making the diagnosis. But at the moment, and there's a lot of work being done in this to try and find it in life, diagnostic biomarker, but we don't have one at the moment.
Okay, so if somebody's alive and displaying a set of symptoms, it could be dementia, it could be CTE, it could be a number of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there are particular facets to the CTE diagnosis insofar as, you know, there's often sort of explosive and impulsive behavioural discontrol, and it is generally in younger people, and of course it's intimately associated with recurrent brain injury. So, you know, you won't be finding this if you get dementia in a rower or a tennis player. You know what I mean? You have to have exposure to recurrent injury for the diagnosis to be made. The exact dose of injury, though, the number of blows that you have to sustain is unknown. And that's the worrying thing with some of these younger people now. We're seeing, you know, that they don't necessarily have a lifetime of exposure. They have modest amounts of exposure. Shane Tamora, which is the young man that shot up the office block in Park Avenue over the summer, was 27 years of age and only played football, American football, in high school. And he was found to have CTE in his brain. So this is where the genetic story comes in. There must be a vulnerability somewhere. There must be people who are vulnerable to this. And we just don't know what it is. So we need a lot more research, obviously, to understand.
And in terms of impacts to the head, is it a particular a part of the brain that has to be hit to bring on CTE?
Not particularly, because, I mean, you know, the brain is, as I say when I talk to people about it, my best image of the brain, if you think about it in a live person, this is not a bouncy object, right? The brain is a bit like a peeled tomato. You could pulp it in your hand. If you could just reach into the skull and you could lift out a piece of the brain, you could just squeeze it in your hand like a pulped tomato. So it's very, very, it's a very, very delicate substance. And so hitting the head anywhere will cause shock waves to go through the brain, and all parts of the brain are affected. Now, in general, people are playing contact sports or getting hit in the front. So it's a front to back injury, but there's also these kind of shearing injuries where there's rotational forces. So, there's no real evidence that there's a particular area that gets damaged. It is true to say, though, that kind of impulse behavior controls, these are located typically in the frontal lobe of the brain. So there's almost certainly frontal lobe damage happening in these people who have these behavioral problems.
Yeah, and these kind of symptoms, can they come on quite quickly?
You know, the problem is, of course, that what ends up happening is that people, certainly on the suicide spectrum, you know, suddenly it's like, oh, in retrospect, we knew something was going wrong. It's probably a slowly evolving thing. But, you know, it's only in retrospect that people think that a person's behavior has suddenly gone downhill. But when their family members will tell you, they'll know this has been going on for a few years. I mean, the most recent, there's been a couple of deaths recently, one in New Zealand, one in Australia, in their late 30s. And both players retired due to mental health problems in 2017, 2018. So that'll tell you there's a long history there of mental health problems, you know, leading up to retirement. And then since then, before they committed suicide.
Yeah. They were both rugby players.
There are rugby players who are part of this. Yeah. Mm. That was the question.
Yes. Well, because because head injuries in general seem to be kind of worry within rugby.
They are. Yeah. And the most controversial one, I think, is one close to home. There's a woman called Siobhan Cadogan, was a young female international Scottish rugby player who died several years ago of suicide. And her brain was never looked at. But the whole story points to that. And there's a lot of controversy about that in particular because of the services that were afforded to her by by the rugby authorities, and it's a really very difficult situation for the family. But I suppose to illustrate that this is not, again, limited to the most impactful parts, male collision type sports. There are people who are amateurs, who are not professional players, who are playing only for a few years, who are getting this, and we just don't understand why. And the question is there enough there to change the rules? And I think there is. I certainly think there is. I am on the record, both in print and in the media, saying that the government needs to take this seriously as a public health problem. You know, there's 30,000 sports-related concussions in Ireland every year. 400,000 young people go out playing contact sports during the season. All the sports, all the codes, football, GAA, rugby. And, you know, so there's a very significant burden on the health system. We have 2,000 concussions admitted to James's every year. And only a quarter of those are sports-related, by the way. Concussion is a huge problem in assaults, in car accidents. But at least in car accidents, right? If you take car accidents as a good example, at least the government has a whole range of regulations in driving and road safety to avoid injury. But the government takes no role in regulating sports. They're leaving it up to the codes completely. Yeah. And I just don't think that's acceptable.
What kind of regulation would you like to see?
Well, I think, and by the way, this was not my idea, but I think it's a very good idea. The Children's Ombudsman last year called on the Minister for Sport, by the way, on national radio, to create a register of injuries in young people so that you have to register a person who takes a brain injury. And that would give us a very good idea of the extent of injuries. The other story I tell people is, look, concussion's not this, you know, slow motion thing that you're seeing on TV every week in international sports. What concussion is, it's happened up on field number 5, where there's 6 parents standing around the edge, and little Johnny goes down and he's knocked out. And everybody goes, what happened there? Didn't see anything. That's what's happening in concussion, right? So we just don't know the extent of the problem because it's almost unseen. And so we need a register, first of all, of the injuries. You need to be mandated to have a register, and you need to be mandated to have training for coaches and parents. Like, I mean, to me, the over 18 issue is now settled, right? If you decide to play these sports and you're over 18 and you're getting paid for it, the risks are there, they're established. That's up to you. People do all sorts of crazy things with their lives, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to stop anybody doing that. But there's a duty of care issue here for people coming up to the age of 18. And all these parents and coaches who are standing on the sideline are in loco parentis for young people who are taking brain injuries on the field. Now, the question is, what would you want that person to know in terms of the recognition of concussion, in terms of the on-field management, in terms of the advice to whether to seek medical attention or go to hospital? Like, there are so many issues there. And most parents who are, like, giving up their time free, gratis to help the sport, have no idea of these issues.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to them, you know, are you really happy now? Knowing what we know now, that you're there in loco parentis, taking all that responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I would say regulated training for people. And not, I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a year-long course. We're talking about, you know, a couple of days of training around the implications and the recognition of concussion. We're talking about a registry of injuries. And I think the sport, the government should get involved in regulating the sport. Like, reducing the dose of blows is absolutely critical. I mean, we don't know how many blows is bad. And if we don't know, we've got to put in some sort of guidance. So can we please just get together? I'm not the guy to say what, you know, changes in technique will reduce brain injury. And we need other people to help with that. I mean, I'm happy to be involved on the expertise of brain health.
Would you say, though, Colin, that head protection might be a good thing or actually might make it worse?
So that's a good point and always a contentious one. You know, what I say to people is just think of it this way. If is there a sport that we know of where people use head protection and it mitigates the worst of CTE? And the answer is no. The sport we know where they use very expensive crash helmets is the worst levels of CTE. So helmets make things worse for the simple reason that these young men, young women as well, see themselves as now protected and they use their head as a weapon. You know, so they go in and the head is down. They think, I'm protected. I've been given a scrum cap. I've been given, some of these helmets are pouring billions into this technology, but they do nothing. Because they keep on reassuring the player that they're protected, and they're not. Again, think of the tomatoes in the tin. You know, you could put as much protection around the tin of tomatoes, but those tomatoes, if you drop them on the ground, those tomatoes are getting damaged. It doesn't matter how much protection you're putting around the tin.
That's a grim thought. Colin, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Colin Doherty there, head of the School of Medicine at Trinity College Dublin, also a consultant neurologist at St. James's Hospital.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.